Right now.
Yeehaw.
In this material world. Mahabhaga. O greatly opulent and fortunate Shukadeva Goswami. Yata. So that. Eva. Indeed. Narakan. All the hellish conditions into which the impious are put. Naraha. Human beings. Nana. Varieties of. Ugra. Terrible. Yatanan. Conditions of suffering. Na'iyat. May not undergo. Tut. Bad. May. To me. Yatyatumarasi. Please describe. The translation. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. It's a purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Shukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Pariksit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. A Vaishnava is para dukkha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Lord Maharaj said, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however, for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with maya sukha, temporary happiness without knowledge of devotional service unto you." This is the problem faced by a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. But because he is compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next. Pariksit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadeva Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadeva Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Pariksit is the representative of one who can save them. So, Aduneha Mahabhaga Yathoiva Narakan Nadaha Anugra Yatanan Neyat Tan Me Vyak Yatun Arasi. So, Omagana Kamirandasha Kadanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Genetismai Shigurveda Maha. So two times in this purport, Prabhupada says that Vaishnava has no problems. So I'll speak a little bit about that, and then we'll speak about the other topics here. That's very interesting. I mean, if I go around the room and I talk to each one of you, I say, you know, what's happening in your life? Do you have any problems? And you'll say, yes. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the details, don't worry. So, my children don't listen to me. Yes, I'm in debt. Yes, I have this disease. Yes, I have no friends. You know, anyway. Yes, no one understands me. I mean, there's a whole list of problems we come up with, isn't it? Just like I was speaking, was I speaking to someone? Yeah, someone on Sunday, he said, "I have a big problem." I said, what is it? He said, my daughter's 39 and she's not married. So, you know, of course, in the Indian culture, you have to, if you don't have a daughter, I mean, it probably gives so many explicit statements, which I can't repeat in class here, that you're supposed to get your daughter married by the time it's, anyway, puberty. And so then he's in anxiety. So you see, all these people are in anxiety about all these different problems in life. And, yesterday I had a little toothache and I said, oh, problem. And then, you know, what can I do? What was me? And so, how do we deal with it when Prabhupada says the Vaishnava has no problems? So first of all, we can understand, we're probably not Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnava Prabhupada described is a pure devotee of the Lord. We are aspiring one day to be Vaishnavas, but because we're in the material concept of life, then we're ascribing problems to ourselves. But actually, these difficulties that occur in the life of a devotee are learning experiences, impetuses for becoming more Krishna conscious. I mean, just like yesterday, I was thinking, like, this pain, go away, come again, don't come again another day. Anyways, sometimes we don't understand how other people are experiencing pain. We think, you know, I'm free from pain, you know, ha ha ha. Then I was thinking, why has Krishna sent this? First of all, there are a variety of reasons. One reason is that to teach me how important it is to utilize every moment of time that we have to serve Krishna. You know, so many times we waste moments of time when we actually have full strength of the senses and we're not in pain and we're conscious, you know, 5 minutes a day. So that's one thing I learned from that. That actually we should just be very, very thankful for what and utilize every time, because every moment of the day. So different things happen to different people. I mean, that's my experience. Another person's experience may be, you know, family members that don't love them. I was just actually listening to a class that Srila Prabhupada was giving, how Prabhupada was talking about how family members are legal thieves. It was really funny. I mean, I use this example all the time. But I actually heard it in Prabhupada's class that Prabhupada was talking about how if you come home at night and then your family takes all your money, you think it's love. Where if someone in the street comes, takes your money, then you call the police. But very few people have called the police on their wife or husband for taking their money, right? Confirmed. Confirmed. Anyway, so these problems we have are actually sent by Krishna to help us become Krishna conscious. That's how we should see things. And just like Queen Kunti, she was thinking she had no problems. And she really did have problems. I mean, if we had the same issues or things happened to us that happened to Queen Kunti, I mean, we'd be losing faith, committing suicide, something, you know, or going to a psychiatrist, because Queen Kunti was subjected to difficulties practically at every moment. I mean, her husband was cursed, couldn't have a relationship with her, and then she had to call for the demigods. I mean, even before she was married, she had to send her first son away on a raft, you know, little thing of reeds. It's like the Moses story, actually. And, you know, and if her mother to send her son away down the river, I mean, it's not Kali Yuga where the mothers kill the sons, you know, kill abortions like that. Or the mothers have a paramour and they just, like I mentioned that story many times, how one lady, she had a paramour and she put her children in a car, took off the emergency brake and watched the car go into the lake and the children died. But, you know, mother has so much love for the child. It's just like inconceivable. Closest thing to pure love in this material world. So Queen Kunti, she had to actually, Kunti Devi at that point, she wasn't a queen, she had to just put her kid on a little raft and just watch him float down the river. Can you imagine that? And so that was the first difficulty she had, and then her whole life is compounded with many difficulties. And yet, in her prayers, she asked Krishna to send more difficulties. Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. Again and again, please, he said, send more difficulties so I don't have to take birth again in the material world. So in other words, for a Vaishnava, difficulties are a learning experience and a challenge. We should see like that. Whether it's a physical difficulty, adiatmic, adivodic, or adidaivic, those are the three types of difficulties in this world. Okay, that's the first thing. And then we understand it's not a difficulty, it's Krishna. That's one thing. Second thing is how we should be thinking and taking trouble and risking our lives to help others become Krishna conscious. This is actually the more important point here. Srila Prabhupada said that, this is in the Nectar of Instruction, that he defined a Mahabhagwat as one who is always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness and never falls down from the principles of Krishna consciousness. Now that's an interesting description or definition of Mahabhagwat. I mean, generally think, you know, Mahabhagwat is something like, you know, something like really esoteric. You know, talking to Krishna every night, you know, if you put your ear to the door of his room, you'll hear, you know, Gurudev, Krishna, how are you feeling today? I don't know. Nobody liked my flute playing today. Yeah, of course everybody likes Krishna's flute playing. So that's generally what we think of in Mahabhagwat. We have this like really like esoteric understanding of what a Mahabhagwat is. And, you know, if someone looks really spiritual, we think he's spiritual. We have this external understanding. But Prabhupada described the Mahabhagwat as one who's always thinking of helping others, spreading Krishna consciousness, and never falling down. And that means, always thinking means several things. He's willing, he or she, because we have she Mahabhagwatinis. So he or she is ready to risk their lives, risk their health, to spread Krishna consciousness, to give other people, and straining their mind. I mean, let's give an example of risking a life. Okay. And the story of Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Gadadhar Das was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He's described as an incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. Pretty nice, isn't it? So he decided to do a really difficult preaching mission. He wanted to preach to the Qazi. Now you may think, oh, just preach to the Qazi, it's just like going to see a senator or something like that. But the Muslims, when they invaded India, particularly the Mughals, they actually killed so many Hindus, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's stories about Aurangzeb. He wouldn't even eat boga, until he had killed enough brahmanas to equal his weight in their brahman threads. You know, I guess they have a scale or something, and Aurangzeb wasn't a thin guy. I mean, these are monsters, these people. I mean, Aurangzeb even imprisoned his own father, just because his father was in love with his mother, and built this. Isn't it? He built this beautiful mausoleum for his wife. Actually, there was a Shiva temple before, but that's another story. So imagine approaching someone who's like, you know, just imagine a gang person, like those of you who've ever been in like Boston or New York. You have these gangs and there's some big thug with tattoos all over his body. Or, like Hell's Angels with chains. We don't have them anymore. We used to have them in the 1960s, remember? Hell's Angels, she was one of them. But anyway, he's riding the back of the motorcycle, you know. Right? Right as well. Yeah. So anyway, imagine that, you know, like the most frightening person you can actually think of, you know, one of each devotees for dinner. And so Gadara Das, he wanted to preach to the Kazi. And the worst time to preach to the Kazi or anybody is waking them up at night. I mean, if you're going to preach to someone, wait till they eat. Like they say in Spanish, barriga llena, corazón contenta, right? That's right. That means a full stomach, your heart is content. So anyway, so he went at the inappropriate time, and he just went into the cousin's house, you know, just broken. And everyone was shocked. You know, what are you doing here? And he went, where's that cousin? Tell him to come here this minute. Can you imagine? I want to see him now. I want him to chant. And chant, you know, was the last thing on the cousin's mind. You know, his chant was more or less like a rap song, or, you know, whatever these songs are that to kill. So anyway, so what happened is that the cousin came to him and he was rubbing his eyes, you know, because he was just sleeping. He said, Gadara, what are you doing at this time of night? He said, I want you to chant Hare Krishna. And the cousin was so shocked that he forgot that he was supposed to be violent. So he said, all right, go back home. Tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And when he said that, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna, and Gadara Das started dancing. And he said, wow, you're chanting now. Here you go. So that's, you know, he really risked his life. It's not just a joke. And in the modern day, you have devotees like Bhaktatirtha Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktatirtha Maharaj, who, we were describing this the other day, Dakarti Mishra's brother. He went to Eastern European countries, and at that time the Eastern European countries weren't kinder and gentler. You know, nowadays we're worried about in Russia whether we can build a temple or not. But in those days, if you got caught chanting Hare Krishna, you get sent to Siberia or to a mental institution. Like that book, Salted Bread. Anyone's read that book? You know, and you get shot through with Thorazine and so many other things if you get caught chanting Hare Krishna. So Zoe this Bhaktatirtha Maharaj went into these countries to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books at the universities and other places. And he basically was living on a train for months at a time. What does that mean? I mean, jumping from one train. When the KGB or the whatever secret service was in a particular country came into a train, he would jump to another train, not like jump out of the train while it was moving in the middle of the winter in some communist country. Can you imagine that? Jumping out of a train while it was moving and then like going down the tracks and jumping on another train. And, you know, they never caught him. And Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, he did this for a long period of time, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. That's a Vaishnava. And then when Srila Prabhupada heard about this, Prabhupada did something, you know, that he doesn't normally do. He embraced Bhaktatirtha Maharaj and expressed his great pleasure, you know. You know, Prabhupada wasn't one just to praise people for the sake of praising people. You know, if someone did something bad, Prabhupada let you know about it. And even if you did something good, Prabhupada would chastise you sometimes. Because Prabhupada chastised Sarabi, who had built the temple in Vrindavan. He designed the temple in Vrindavan. And everyone was saying Sarabi did a good job, but Prabhupada said, my business is to chastise you. Even though everyone else may be pleased, disciple, like they say, a disciple gets better with a stick. So, you beat your Murdunga, your dog, and disciple, right? No. Anyway, so, So the point is, he actually risked his life to carry out the order of his spiritual master and preach Krishna consciousness. So that, and then Krishna always protected him. And then, of course, in this particular story, which mentions Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj risked his life too. I mean, he was preaching to the greatest demon in the universe. And he was preaching directly. He said, Dadji, you know, you're Maya. You know, I think you should take sannyas. And one of the first things he said to Hiranyakashipu, you can't control your senses. Can you imagine walking up to your father? I mean, I never tried that. My father got angry even when I tried to give him a Krishna book. Now I can imagine walking up to your father, Dad, you really can't control your senses. You're chewing the chewed. I think it's better you just give up everything, go to the forest, and take up Krishna consciousness. So that was dangerous too. And it was so dangerous that his father attempted to kill him. So Prahlad Maharaj says he didn't have any problems. Can you imagine having a father, I mean, father who tries to kill you? Maybe there was like 50 different ways he tried to kill his son. Is that a problem? I would think so. But it's described here that a Vaishnava has no problem. So Prahlad Maharaj said, I personally have no problems. I mean, that's pretty interesting. And his father was killed by the Lord, you know, so he was without a father too, you know. So he's thinking, I personally have no problems. Imagine that. I mean, if Krishna had killed whoever was harassing me, I would say, you know, send him to hell, Krishna. But Prahlad Maharaj also, he asked for, asked that his father would be liberated. Not only did he say, I have no problems, I don't want anything from you. You know, God appears to me, and I have a whole list for him. I said, let me check my computer, Krishna. You know, I've been taking notes for the last 20 years to let you know what I'd like. And the first thing on the list is another computer. And the second thing is a younger body. I want to live forever in this body, Krishna. It's like, these demons, they always are asking for immortality. That means immortality in the same stupid body. Pretty stupid, isn't it? So anyway, so here's the story. Prahlad Maharaj also just saying, I have no problems. So we should also think like that. We have no problems. You know, people come up to me and say, is there any problem? I said, no. Of course, I'm thinking, yeah, but I can't tell you. I won't appear so Krishna conscious if I tell you. So anyway, that's the point. Oh yeah, there was another story. It just came to mind. Like Haridas Thakur was getting ready to leave this world, and actually he was experiencing a lot of bodily difficulties, and he wasn't able to complete his 192 rounds every day. Every day, not just on Ekadashi. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You know, what is the problem, Tim?" And basically, he didn't say, "Well, I'm having a lot of pain, Lord Chaitanya. My body is creating problems." He said, the problem is I'm not able to finish my rounds. So he took, you know, a problem, not as his definition of a problem was not a material thing, but something that would be an impediment, he considered to be an impediment in his spiritual life. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, now that you've fulfilled your duty as being the Namacharya, you can reduce your number of rounds. And then, of course, then he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, actually, I have a request to make of you. I just want to leave this world looking at your lotus feet and lotus face. And that Lord Chaitanya fulfilled that particular request of Haridas Thakur. So these are exemplars. And we should try to apply these particular examples or dynamics in our life. We have no problems. Except how to be Krishna conscious, how to make others Krishna conscious. Alright. Then the last topic is straining the mind in order to help people become Krishna conscious. This means practically speaking, how to adapt the presentation of Krishna consciousness so that others can more readily take it. I mean, many times we're just like addicted, I'm using the word addicted deliberately, to a particular way of practicing Krishna consciousness because we have habits. You know, it's hard to break a habit, isn't it? We have so many habits, like little twitches of the eyes or... Anyway, you could all think of different habits you have. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. One habit you have is stay up late at night. It's like sometimes we come back late at night and there's people walking around in the temple. And they blame their habit on, I'm a night person. But you can become a day person too. So don't want to get too heavy with sincere Vaishnavas. So we're talking about breaking habits. So we're very attached to, you know, whatever style we have of Krishna consciousness, like we've been doing something for so many years. Like I am very attached to dhotis. Not really. But well, you may be very attached to being Vedic, what you consider to be Vedic. And just like I remember, there was one school here many years ago and the teacher was preaching to all the girls, you have to be Vedic. And that means wearing a lot of jewelry. And a lot of, what are these called? Bangles. You know, everyone has to have bangles in their arms. Not the men, just the women. So just because I consider that to be so ridiculous, because, you know, Vedic means to understand Krishna. Not a particular cultural style. So then I told the girls who were going to that school, I said, because they were all submissive disciples, that's an oxymoron too. So I told them, you should dress up and put like 20 bangles on your arm, 4 earrings on each ear, you know, a crown, you know, like you see in the Hindi movies, you know, whatever. In the hair, you know, just like really deck yourself out like a Christmas tree and go into the school, teach the teacher a lesson. So they went to the school, there were four of them. They went to the school, the teacher looked up, and there were like 4 Christmas trees there with eyes on them. And he said, what are you doing? And they said, we're making ourselves auspicious and Vedic. And, you know, because sometimes you can actually prove a point by taking it to an extreme and showing how absurd it is. Argumentum ad absurdum is called. You just show it's absurd. And so fire began to come from her eyes. She was a mystic yogini, the teacher of yoga. And the poor girls ran out of the classroom, you know, down through the woods. They didn't have time to put their shoes on. And they came to my house, and we were laughing, of course. And the teacher calls me on the phone and says, guess what they did? And I made believe that I didn't know. I said, what are they doing? She told me, and I said, those rascals. How can they do that? I'll yell at them when I see them. Anyway, it's my idea. So the point is that we have this external understanding that we're very attached because of habit, and it really has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So we have to come up with a way to present the essential aspects of Krishna consciousness, which are chanting Hare Krishna, obviously, eating food offered to Krishna, not necessarily food that will kill you. You know, some people think that we have to die eating sweets and fried foods. Just like I was talking to someone yesterday, they try to cook healthy for the Sunday feast, but sometimes, you know, some people didn't appreciate it, so that once in a while they throw 10 pounds of oil on them. I'm exaggerating, of course. on the eggplant, vegan, for those of you who speak Hindi. So, and then everything, the eggplant becomes like little sponges for oil. You know, you just squeeze it. And you can actually, you know, and you can actually drain it and put it in your car if you're running short. Short of oils. So, and then people say, wow, that was an excellent sabji. Or like in Bengal, they cook with a mustard oil. And you know, mustard oil probably burns your intestines away as you're eating them. I mean, it may be tasty, probably said it's tasty, but it's burning. So we become, anyway, so people just like, because of habit, you know, you did something when you were young, or just like I was telling you, some people from India, South India, they say, we're adapted to big deities. You know, we want to come to a temple where the deity room is dark. You know, because in South India you have all these, because it's made from this black stone, obviously. I mean, it's not that there's something spiritual about dark deity rooms. But, you know, that's the building materials they had in those days. Dark, you know, just stone. They didn't have windows. So the deities were really big. Like if you look at Lord Ranganath and Sri Ranga, he's big. Oh my God, it's almost time. I had a lot of things I wanted to say. Anyway, so the point is that the whole point I'm making, this is of course a Krishna West moment, but anyway, so the whole point I'm making is that we have to adapt things and not be so attached to our particular habits, you know, the way we've done things for so many years. And this is compassion. How to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you know, we have things like Krishna West, we have the law of preaching, we have prasadam distribution. In India, they have they have dormitories for college students. We have Krishna House in Gainesville. I mean, there's so many different strategies. But then you have the conservative people who are criticizing at the same time. You know, this is not the way we did it. Well, they can do it the way they did it, and then our movement will have 10 people left in it 5 years from now. Isn't it? You can't just keep doing things the way you did it before. I mean, things worked before. I mean, when I was young, I did a lot of things. I played with blocks, and tinkered toys, and everything like that. So you gotta grow up. Anyway, so on that happy note, I had a lot of other things I wanted to say, but there's no time. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.